This Pro-Liberty podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store. Visit healthrangerstore.com/MAGA. That's M-A-G-A, like Make America Great Again. Thank you for your support.
Mike Adams.
The bottom line is that liberals don't believe in any system. They don't have any principles that are universally applied.
The Health Ranger Report.
They don't believe any institution of government or any institution of law other than those that happen to serve their interests at the moment.
It's time for the Health Ranger Report.
The Health Ranger Report.
And now from naturalnews.com, here's Mike Adams.
It doesn't matter what your politics. You are going to love this podcast about the beautiful lesson that we are all going to learn from the outcome of the Trump presidency. Whether it's a disaster or whether it's a success, we are all going to learn something extraordinary. And that is what is so beautiful, even astounding about this. So please allow me to explain this. My name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. You're listening to healthrangerreport.com. Also, check out my new science podcast at healthrangerscience.com. So let's talk about the Trump situation. And this is not going to be a partisan discussion. It's not pro-Trump or anti-Trump. Instead, it starts with the premise that most of us are sick and tired of the establishment government. Most of us, regardless of our party affiliation or political bias or slant, most of us agree that the way government is structured today is broken. Most of us really just want to live our lives with a greater sense of freedom. Most of us want the government off our backs. You know, most of us understand that government has a tremendous amount of waste and a tremendous amount of injustice, and that it is incompetent at every level. It doesn't even matter who's running it. It's extremely incompetent. And this is true, again, whether you're a progressive or a libertarian or a conservative or a political agnostic or anywhere in between. So here's the beautiful thing about all of this. If Trump succeeds in draining the swamp, and it looks increasingly like that's not going to happen, but we'll leave that for history to tell. But if he were to succeed in draining the swamp, then it gives us a very powerful positive message. It means that someone, an outsider, can come into the system and radically change it, perhaps for the better. And even if you don't like Trump himself, it would give you hope that maybe some other person could also come along later on and change the system. In other words, if Trump can drain the swamp, it sets a precedent, that the swamp can be drained. And if that happens, then it would be an indication that we should continue to have some level of hope in government reforms, you see, that maybe government can be reformed if you just have the right people in office and they do the right things. Perhaps there could be a chance for government to become less corrupt and more just and, you know, less tyrannical. Now, on the other hand, let's suppose that the Trump effort to drain the swamp ends up having the swamp swallow Trump, and he becomes consumed into the political status quo, and he becomes a mainstream politician, and he becomes another puppet of the globalists and doing their bidding. Let's just suppose that's the outcome. Well, you know why that's good news in terms of global awakening? Because it means that the system is so corrupt that it's absurd to try to reform it. Because Donald Trump is really the ultimate outsider, in a sense, the ultimate reformer. He was the ultimate challenge to the status quo, regardless of what you think about his politics. He was so far outside the box for the status quo that they totally freaked out and tried to destroy him. And if he gets consumed by the swamp, it means that we can all move on past this idea, this silly idea that government can be reformed. In other words, what it really would say, if that's the outcome, indeed, it would say that we should change our, we should wake up and stop thinking that elections matter, that the right person can fix the system. We should stop participating in this great con, this incredible government scam where we give up our power to these political elite, these bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. who make fake promises and failed commitments and all of these things that try to strangle our freedom while confiscating our wealth and ordering us to, you know, inject our children with vaccines and so on. And that would be a very freeing realization. Because it would mean that perhaps humanity is ready to move past the era of centralized government. And friends, I believe that this is actually the moment that we are approaching. And it's not quite anarchy or an anarchist system. It's not quite that. But I believe that humanity is now very, very close to waking up to the idea that we don't need big government to tell us how to run our lives. That government has become the enemy of freedom. That government has become the most deceptive and most destructive entity and institution on our planet. And it is that awakening that needs to happen before we can move beyond this structure of society that's rooted in things like a democratic republic, for example, or a monarchy, or a plutocracy, or other forms that exist today, you know, like communism and so on. You know, it's very interesting. If you look at the history of how societies are structured, throughout most of human history, most individuals who have lived under extreme tyranny. They've had almost no freedom whatsoever. They lived under kings and queens and pharaohs. They lived under supposed religious deities and super gods that were their absolute rulers, and that most individuals had no individual rights. They had no access to due process or a system of justice or even the right to engage in a contract that was enforceable universally across the board. Most people lived under tyranny. Even today, most people still live under tyranny. And all of the systems of government that then were considered progress from that, you know, like communism and socialism and democracy and democratic republic and so on, these really came into being, you know, only a few hundred years ago, but it's been a few centuries. Let's say roughly about 3 centuries or coming up on 3 centuries, we've had these forms of government. Is that the ultimate form that humanity is going to live under in terms of a societal structure for the rest of human civilization? I think the answer is absolutely not. I think that the democratic republic under which we're living right now is simply a stepping stone to the next system or the next structure of a more advanced or more awake, more aware society. You see, what people are coming to realize is that we don't need other people in Washington to represent us. And that's becoming obvious to everyone because they see that their own interests, what the people want, is never represented or reflected in Washington, D.C. Instead, those bureaucrats in Washington become prostitutes for corporate interests or prostitutes for the military-industrial complex. They become prostitutes for the pharmaceutical lobby, which is, I think, the largest lobby in Washington, D.C. at the moment. And so the average person is asking themselves, wait a minute, we are a super connected society. We can communicate at the speed of light. We can vote at the speed of light online through web pages, right? We can share news, which now moves at the speed of light through social media networks and websites and so on, mobile devices, email, you name it. Why do we need to send people to Washington, D.C. who falsely claim to represent our interests? Why do we need a system of representation when we, the people, can represent ourselves? And now some of you are thinking, well, yeah, that's called direct democracy. Direct democracy. And it has some dangers, obviously. Mob rule would be one of the dangers. If you allow the people to vote on every potential law, then you have to make sure that the people aren't easily tricked or fooled or hypnotized or propagandized into voting things into law that deprive other people of their basic constitutional rights. So there are dangers in a direct democracy. But there are also great benefits. You can't, you know, if you're big pharma, you can't lobby 300 plus million people. You can run TV ads and you can do things like that, but you can't just bribe 300 million people to vote for your law. And so I think the benefits at this point outweigh the risks. And I know that I've at times pointed out the flip side of this in the past, but I think that right now we should really look at the next form of government being a direct democracy with protected constitutional liberties that cannot be violated by government. And I also think that government itself is vastly overstated, given vastly too much authority. it's so much larger than it should be. It should be about 1/10 of its current size, frankly. It's involved in way too many things. Doesn't mean that it doesn't have a role. It does have a role, especially in environmental protection in terms of pollution, you know, stopping corporate pollution of the rivers and streams and soils and air and so on. That's important. National defense is important, obviously. So there are some limited roles of legitimate centralized government function. But we don't need a government telling us, the states, what to do, how to teach our children, how to run our religious laws, how to run even our gay marriage laws. That should be a state-by-state issue, along with many other things. You know, states' rights. I mean, California should be able to govern itself the way it wants without the tyranny from Washington demanding that California follow what Trump wants right now. Same as Texas under Obama. Texas should be free to run itself the way it wants to run itself without the tyranny from Washington under the former President Obama. It's the same. It's the same situation. Now then, those of you who are really more, who've thought more about this topic, you might say, well, why do we even need states to be the authority entities? You know, why not have 300 million sovereign nations, so to speak, that each person is unto themselves a truly sovereign individual who has their own rights that are guaranteed through divine granting of those rights. In other words, you have the right to your own thoughts. You have the right to your own body. You have the right to say no to any intervention of your body, whether it's a medical intervention or a vaccine intervention or a sexual intervention or a food intervention, any of these other things. You have the right, you know, euthanasia, you have the right to say no to that, or organ harvesting and so on. You have the right to say no because you own your body. That's a basic divine right. So why do we even need the structure of states that are domineering over groups of individuals? Why do we have the structure of nations that are domineering over groups of individuals? You see, these are the kinds of questions that I think bring up a very important discussion for moving forward. And it is, Trump is going to be the bellwether gauge of which direction many of us choose to go. For example, just to share with you some of my own personal beliefs on this matter, if you can't already tell, I'm taking a wait and see attitude right now. I know that government is far too big. Government is far too tyrannical, too militarized, too dangerous with the surveillance state and all of this. But can it be reformed? I'm willing to step back a little bit and wait and see what Trump can get done, with a sense of great skepticism, of course, at the same time, because I'm not a foolish believer in baseless hope that somehow some person can come in and change the entire system. I'm very skeptical about that idea. At the same time, if he fails and if he becomes consumed by the swamp, I'll be among one among many who will say, maybe it's time that we all started looking at the post-federal government structure for how we wish to organize our societies. And interestingly, it's many of the leftists in California who agree with that principle right now, because they're talking about secession. They want to leave the United States. And you know, when I first heard that idea, I thought that was a really kind of a crazy idea. I think I was against it. But the more I've thought about it, I'm actually in favor of that idea at this point, because why shouldn't the people of California be able to govern themselves based on their own local beliefs? I think that's a good thing. Even if their beliefs are very different from, let's say, the beliefs where I live in Texas, and they are very different, why shouldn't local regions have the right and the authority and the sovereignty to govern themselves locally based on their local culture, their local beliefs? You know, and then the beauty of that kind of a system is you can simply move to the area that agrees with your beliefs and your philosophy. You no longer have to live under a system of tyranny, of federal tyranny, you know, the central Washington, D.C. tyranny that demands everyone conform to its way of living. That's tyranny, because there's always going to be some part of the country that doesn't agree with that system, that is not even part of their culture. Why shouldn't people be able to vote with their feet and just move to the region that they feel at home in, that makes them feel comfortable, that's aligned with their belief system? You know, if California wants to commit economic suicide, for example, and just give out unlimited entitlements to undocumented immigrants, as they call them, then that should be California's business. I don't even think that the federal government should get in the way of California committing financial suicide. I think it's a very important lesson for the maturity of that society to understand that that kind of just giving away of entitlement money always ends in collapse. If you force upon California a rule system where they can't do that, they will always hate the fact that that was forced upon them, and they will think that someone is forcing them not to be able to exercise compassion. But if you allow them to do that themselves and say, yeah, California, go ahead, blow through all your money, go into debt and go into financial collapse, then guess what? California learns a lesson. It's like if you're raising teenagers and teenagers do stupid things. And teenagers, like if you have a male teenager, they like to borrow the car and they like to drive the car really fast and crash it into trees and ditches and walls and things. Now, if you never let your teenager crash the car, they're never going to learn how to be safe. And yeah, there's a risk in letting them do that, but you have to let them learn through that experience. That's the only way they grow into adulthood. They have to have these lessons on their own. And this is true in every region all across the country, nationwide. Every region, I think, has the right to govern itself. And so, in effect, if you listen carefully to what I'm arguing for here, I am arguing for I want to make sure you understand the definition of the word federalism, but I'm arguing for the increase in federalism, which actually means states' rights or local governance. It's the opposite of what it sounds like. I'm against, in other words, centrally planned economies, central power from a remote location like Washington, D.C., that is trying to assert its power over all the states and all the regions. And I actually think that the United States of America would function better as an individual states, individual nations of the Americas, so to speak. Texas should be a nation. California should be a nation. And perhaps parts, you know, I think the country would actually function better if it were 5 different nations or 10 different nations or 20 different nations. You know, the people of Northern California are very different from the people of Southern California. The people of Eastern Oregon and Eastern Washington are very different from those of Western Washington or Western Oregon. You know, much the same is true in parts of Texas. You know, the people of the cities of Texas, Dallas, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, are very different from rural Texas. Extremely, you know, like opposite, almost polar opposites in terms of politics and belief systems and so on. Now, the people of the East Coast, you know, Boston, New York, very different in many ways from much of the rest of the country. And yet it is those areas, people from those areas, you know, Connecticut, Virginia, Maryland, and so on, who are ruling over the rest of the country. And yet they're so disconnected that they don't even understand still why they lost the election last year. They still don't get it. The political status quo is so delusional and so isolated from reality, they can't even grasp the fact that they did not win the election. They absolutely do not understand why, which by itself is the ultimate argument for why they should not govern us. They are not connected to us. They are so distant from us that they don't know our challenges. They don't understand the unemployment rates. They don't understand the substance abuse, addiction problems in flyover America. They don't understand the challenges, that the hardship that families have all across America, because all the money flows centrally into Washington, D.C., like in the Hunger Games. All the money flows into the Capitol with President Snow, and they're living in luxury there. And they're having parties, and they're having cocktails, and they're having all these exotic desserts, while the rest of the country is starving and living in near poverty and suffering under tyranny, and doesn't have free speech, and doesn't control the media, and so on. And that's what it has come to. So when we watch what happens here with Donald Trump, and I'm almost finished here with this, this is going to be the ultimate wake-up call. If Trump can't drain the swamp, what it means to me is that the swamp is beyond reform. The swamp can't be drained. It has to be completely like paved over or something. You know, it's got to be replaced. In other words, it's probably going to end. This is a prediction, not a call to action, but a prediction. It's probably going to end in revolution or civil war or the balkanization of the states, breaking up, you know, fracturing of the geopolitical regions of the country. Because the culture is so fractured right now, as you see in California, people there are so angry about Trump supporters, they have to violently, physically attack them. The left and the right can no longer even participate in the same discussion anymore. There's no common ground. They don't have anything in common anymore, except maybe they speak the same language, but even that is now under assault by the progressive left with politically correct speech censorship, you know, trigger words and all of that. So the language is even fracturing, by the way. I mean, literally, they, you know, the universities don't allow you to use him or his or her anymore. It's all these gender neutral pronouns. So even the language is starting to fracture. You know, and just as a side note, the left will soon have a language where that says nothing. Words without meaning. That's the ultimate politically correct language of the left. That's what will be taught at UC Berkeley. Words without meaning. No pronouns or verbs or objects or nouns or anything that might trigger anybody. No adjectives or adverbs. Basically, just every lesson is a blank sheet of paper. Every student is a blank mind. Every professor is an absent-minded teacher. The whole point of education in California will be to transfer nothing from the professor into nothing to the student in order to achieve nothing. Like, that is the education system now in California because of the assault on language and meaning. Nevertheless, that's just a side note. I'd love to lay that out in more detail in another podcast. The point is that even the language is fracturing, the philosophical beliefs are fractured, the religious beliefs are fractured, economic understanding is completely fractured, economic standing, you know, the classes, the economic strata across the country is so fractured now that people in Washington, D.C. have no clue what it's like to not have a job and to not have money and to live near the poverty line. So this is a very beautiful moment in history because of this. Because of Trump's election, we are now going to get a really good answer soon about whether the swamp is even worth trying to reform or it's just hopeless and we should move on to trying to push for the next stage of great reform. You know, really revolutionary reform. That the era of big government, it has been proven to be a total failure, and that we need something else, something radically different in terms of how we structure our society. So that could be great news. So we might actually end up thanking Trump for failing, if that is indeed what happens, for showing us with incredible clarity that we would be wasting our time in trying to think that government could ever be reformed or that the status quo could ever be cleaned up or, you know, cleaned of corruption. It's probably never going to happen in terms of reforming the system from inside the system. And that's a very important moment of clarity for humankind. So it could be a great gift, in effect, that President Trump gives us, perhaps inadvertently, or perhaps he's doing his best, and the swamp really is just too ominous and too murky that no one can drain it, not even someone who attempts to. And that would be a great gift for humanity in terms of awakening. So you can hear more podcasts at healthrangerreport.com. Also check out some of my websites. I do run trump.news, which carries some interesting daily news on Trump himself. I also run naturalnews.com and newstarget.com. So be sure to check all those out. Thank you for listening. Spread the word. We need, I think, more voices of philosophical discussion, voices of reason, and courageous voices who are willing to imagine a very different future for humanity than the one that we're all suffering under today. We can live in a far better society, a more fair society, a more just society, a more compassionate society, a more sane society, a society that's more sustainable. I really believe we can. But the only way that we're going to get there is to challenge the suicidal status quo, you know, that destroys our planet with pesticides, that destroys our economic system with fiat currency, that destroys our freedoms with tyranny and so on. We're going to have to challenge that status quo and find a new way to structure human society that leads to greater liberty, protection of life, abundance, and happiness for a greater number of people. Let's hope we can get there. Thanks for listening.
Learn more at healthrangerreport.com.
I know you have a lot of choices of where to get your superfoods and supplements, personal care products, and so on. To find all these solutions and more, just go to healthrangerstore.com/MAGA, M-A-G-A. healthrangerstore.com/MAGA, as in Make America Great Again. You'll find hundreds of solutions there that can enhance and help protect your health. Again, that's healthrangerstore.com/MAGA. At the Health Ranger Store, we are a pro-liberty, pro-life, pro-freedom, pro-America manufacturer and direct distributor. We sell direct to customers, offering extraordinary values on these products. Lab tested and verified, we test all of our products for bacteria, E. coli, salmonella, yeast and mold, heavy metals, lead, cadmium, arsenic, mercury, much more. Also glyphosate and herbicide and other pesticides and herbicides are being added to our testing procedure to make sure that we bring you safe, verified, clean supplements that you just don't get anywhere else. I mean, Amazon.com is a joke compared to us. The Wall Street Journal even did a story exposing the thousands of contaminated, illegal, banned, toxic supplements and products that Amazon sells. We wouldn't sell that because we have ethics, we have morality, we're honest, we have integrity as a manufacturer and a provider of these products. Check us out, healthrangerstore.com. Over 700 different products are available right now. High-end supplements, superfoods, personal care products, even fragrance-free products that are eco-friendly for your home, such as laundry detergent, body soap, dishwasher detergent, and many other products. You'll find just an incredible assortment at healthrangerstore.com. And most importantly, your purchases there help support our ongoing efforts to spread the message of liberty and freedom and pro-life, respecting life in all its forms, and having a nation and a world that operates with ethics and morality so that we might have a sustainable human civilization, not one that's collapsing in destitution and suffering, which is what the radical left and the communists want to bring about. So support us, and we support humanity. HealthRangerStore.com. I thank you for your support.